our bodies and our minds, our soul, our will, our emotions can express to you, God, because you're worthy. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. You're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all glory. You're worthy of all honor. You're worthy of everything. We just love you this morning, God. We just thank you, God, that the rest of the morning belongs to you. Our whole day belongs to you. Our lives belong to you. You are the one who orders our footsteps. You are the one who sets things right. You are the one who sets things in motion. You are the one who overwhelms us with your goodness. Thank you, God. You are the one who relentlessly pursues us. You are the one who captures our heart. You are the one that releases peace in the midst of all. You are the one who is peace in the midst of all. You are overwhelming Father. You are overwhelming Brother. You are overwhelming Master. You are overwhelming God in the deepest places of our hearts. Overwhelming us into that place of virtue, into that place of praise, into that place of love. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet fellowship this morning. Thank you, Lord, that nothing else matters. Nothing else trumps worship to you, worship for you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in this season in our lives, Lord, in the frailty of our own person, in the frailty of our own walk with you, we know, Lord God, that you are a strong tower, and we run into it and we're safe. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for the safe place. Thank you for the safe house. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you that the testimony of you, Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. Thank you, Lord, that you're speaking and we're hearing. You're speaking and we're responding. You're speaking your words into motion, into fruition. You're speaking situations into completion. You're speaking all that's coming from your heart in heaven into this sphere and bringing it to a place of reality where we can experience the goodness of you. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many of us know that as our eyes are fixed on a higher reality, a place, a superior reality than what we think is going on and what we feel is going on and what we sense is going on. The Lord says, position yourself in that higher place, a superior reality, which is really what heaven looks like. And the Lord says, I will bring to pass on earth as it is in heaven, that which is attending my heart, that which you are wanting to see happen in your life and the lives of those around you. So we're in a good place because we say to you, Lord, that the superior reality that we posture ourselves to grab hold of, embrace, and hold on to and walk out shall be seen, shall be understood, shall be experienced. How many of us can say amen to that? So, Lord, we just thank you for that superior reality today. It's not just reality as we see it. It's reality that's superior, which is what you are saying and doing from your heart. That's all that matters. So we choose to say yes and partner with you, aligning ourselves for that promotion in the faith that takes us into that next place of receiving all that you have said belongs to us. Yeah, that's a good word. Amen. Before we release the children, we want to show a 12-minute video that some of us have already seen. Some of us have seen it on our own. Some of us have seen it at Watch of the Lord. But I felt a compelling in my heart this morning to offer that to us as some of the kids go to wherever they're going, to Kingdom class, that you would hear and see what God is saying to the church, we believe, through a prophet by the name of Larry Randolph. Many in here have seen and been in a conference with Larry Randolph in the past, over the other years, former years, and he has actually given and released prophetic words over many in this body, four or five, and that was many at that time in the context of the meetings that we were attending. And Larry Randolph is one who's, he's just kind of raw, and he opens himself up to the Spirit. He's been prophesying and ministering since he's five and has a rich history in the prophetic, a rich history in ministering in the supernatural over his lifetime. And so I just wanted to play this, have this video played so that we can embrace what it is he's saying. And if we've seen it before, just grab on to this for your own personal life, your walk with the Lord, as well as what he's imparting to you for this season here at Frontline, especially with Relentless Pursuit coming up next week, this week on Thursday night. So excited about it. And also what he's saying to us as to what may be happening in our nation. So it is a word for America, but how many of us can agree that we're American? So we're saying, okay, God, right here on earth in my life, what are you saying? So we want to put the lights out. And if we can have everybody just pay attention to this and take some notes if you've got your iPhone out or a piece of paper or something, because there's some richness here that's extremely important. And then right after that, we do have some announcements, and then the children will be released. So let's go ahead and watch this.
I was sitting there, the spirit of prophecy began to stir in my spirit, and although I'm not as prone to public prophecy as I used to be, as more personal prophecy, I still know the spirit of prophecy. Can you hear me all right? Okay. The spirit of prophecy. And I want to say what I feel the Lord stirred in my spirit. And the Lord says this, thus says the Lord, as much as Larry knows how to say what God is, feels like God is saying. The Lord says, you have wondered this year what is happening. Why the feeling in the air? Why a feeling that there's something coming in the air this year? Why is there a feeling that the baby is turning? Why is there a feeling of a release of a long, hard time? Why is there a sense of anxiousness? Why is there a sense of a shift and something is happening? Something is coming. Something is being birthed. The Lord says, I have designated 2014 as the year of unveiling. It shall be the year of uncovering in three levels, says the Spirit of God. You have already seen and you shall see the Spirit of God begin to work in the marketplace and in the government and in the nations and the worlds. And I shall begin to uncover darkness, says the Spirit of God. And you shall see the Spirit of God take the cloak of darkness away. For the light shall shine into the darkness in this nation. And the darkness shall not comprehend it, because those things that are evil shall be brought to the light and shall be consumed by the fire of that light. For I am a God that searches out the places, says the Spirit of God. And you shall see this year an unveiling, an uncovering from the government all the way down to the lowest citizen in this nation. You shall see the hand of the Lord bringing judgment to the house of God, in the sense of discerning the right from the left, in the sense of bringing correction, the sense of uncovering and exposing. The Lord says, I do that because you expose and uncover a hidden wound, that it may air out and that it may come to healing. My motivation for this, says God, is to bring healing to the peoples, bring healing to the government, make healing to the infrastructure of the government of this nation, and to the church in this nation, to the business in this nation, to the economy of this nation, and every sector of this nation. The Lord says, I am pulling off the cloak that covers, and the mildew, and the stench of things that have rotten, and I am bringing a fresh wind into this nation this year, and it shall blow away everything that is hidden, and it shall cover everything that is hidden, and you shall say, wow, the Lord is wonderful, and that he has uncovered the things that are wrong, so we can know how to build that which is right. The Lord says, the second covering, the Spirit of the Lord says, I am doing, I'm about to uncover the people of God in the church in a wonderful way. For the scripture says that there should come a time when the whole earth groans like pregnant and travails for the unveiling of the weoses, the sons and the daughters of the living God. For this is a year that my spirit is going to come upon you in birth. And as a child is birthed from the birth canal, and for the first time, the world gets to see the form of something that lived in closure, I shall shall bring forth a birthing this year in your life, in the life of the church, the life of Christians, and there shall be an unveiling of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God and the glory that I have given you before the foundations of the world. Did not I say that before the foundations of the world I foreknew you and that I had predestined you to be conformed into the image of Christ? That's why Paul prophesied that my little children whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. The Lord says the birth date is this year. That is the end of a long and arduous pregnancy, and you are overdue, says the Spirit of the Lord. For I shall induce labor in the church, says God. I shall induce labor in the lives of Christians. I shall induce labor, and you shall step into the air that you have never breathed before. For you shall come out of the womb to go into a place of performing and doing the things that I have called you to do. For the Lord says, I induce this year, and you shall not only be just hearers of the word, you shall be doers of the word this year. There shall be an expression, and the spirit of expression shall come upon you. The spirit of travail and groaning as the earth cries out for this expression of God's glory. And it shall be revealed through the church. It shall reveal through every Christian. For the scripture says the Spirit of God, that in the last days I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall express themselves prophetically, and dreams shall be enhanced and encouraged, and there shall be visions that shall grow. For this is a year of supernatural explosion. This is a year that the supernatural shall manifest itself, and heaven shall touch earth, and there shall be a kiss between the throne of God and the church, says the Spirit of the Lord. And you shall understand that has been veiled, and that has kept hidden the things of the living God shall be rent and shall be taken away, and my glory shall begin to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. For my glory shall be expressed through you, says the Spirit of God. But most importantly, says the Spirit of God, I shall unveil the cloud of mystery that is over Abba Father's face. I shall unveil the cloud that is in the throne, and you shall be a throne room year for you, and I shall begin to manifest my glory and the Father's face to those that are a part of this thing that I have crafted for my glory. And I shall begin to express heaven and the ambiance of heaven. I shall begin to express the very feeling of heaven, the mood of heaven. I shall begin to express the face, my face, for my face shall surely be seen smiling from the heavens upon what I am doing upon the earth. For you have said, Lord, show us your face, show us your faith. The Lord says, do not pray that anymore. Lift up your eyes and lift up your hands that hang down and look to the heavens, for I'm about to reveal my face, and I shall behold you, and you shall behold me, and there shall be a beholding between us, and the glory that I carry shall satisfy the cry in your heart that says, Abba Father, show me your face, Abba Father, because I am coming this year, I am coming in all of my embrace, and the release of my Father's heart to take you into my arms and unveil the most secret places of my heart and the love that I had for you. So be cheerful and cast away the doubt, cast away the anxiety. Do not regard the diagnosis that you have heard that things are going to be terrible for you. Yes, there shall be terrible things in the earth. Yes, there shall be judgment. Yes, things shall increase. But nevertheless, the scripture says darkness will cover the earth. Gross darkness will cover many peoples. But let that be a sign to you that the glory of the Lord is arising upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you, says God. For it was the judgment and in Egypt that become the deliverance for Israel. So although the good and the bad is coming, posture yourself for the good. Posture yourself in the line of blessing, and remember that I am rising from my throne. And when I rise from the throne, heaven shall rise with me. Angels and cherubim shall rise with me and say, we're about to make our move on planet Earth. And we're about to invest all that heaven has in the very pocket of the church and the soul of the church. And my people who are called by my name will begin to declare the very DNA of their Father. And out of that expression of that miraculous DNA, there shall be this increase of anointing this year that is unprecedented in history. And you shall experience the words that Jesus said, greater works shall you do than I have done, because I go to the Father, but I'm going to send the Father to you, and you and me and you and the Father and you, we shall dine together, and we shall all be one in the expression of the Father's destiny upon this planet. This is the year of the beginnings. This is the year where the labor pain is ceasing, and you say, oh, the birthing pain and the labor pain has been so hard. The Lord says, pain in the night, but rejoicing in the morning when a son is born. And you shall say, it is worth it. And like the son who said, knowing the joy that was set before him, he endured the pain of this agony and the pressure of birthing and the birth canal of processing all that he had to do. You shall forget that as Jesus did because of the joy that I'm setting before you this year. There shall be great joy and great victory. Oh, things will happen. Oh, things will be bad. Oh, there's things that will happen here and there, but it's none of your business what happens there. Your business is the Father's business. Your business is the kingdom's business. So lift up your hands and declare, this is my moment of breakthrough. This is my moment to set my feet and the Father's word. This is my moment to become everything that I have been destined to come. This is my moment to partner with God and to express the fullness of the kingdom. This is your moment to live a life of no regrets, to say, I have no regrets. I have come and I have fulfilled every nuance of the destiny that God has put in the womb of my spirit. This is the year of birthing. This is the year of God arising. This is the year of his enemies fleeing. This is the year of the establishing of the kingdom of God. For the Lord says, I end by saying, for the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ, says the Spirit of the Lord. This is your year, says God. Your year. Father, we thank you. Wonderful God, we thank you. This is our year. This is our earth. This is your land and the fullness thereof. And we partner with you in occupying this place that you've given us to steward for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord, for a face-to-face encounter with heaven this year. Multiple encounters with God this year. Multiple face-to-face, heart-to-heart, mouth-to-mouth, nose-to-nose, touch-to-touch encounters with heaven this year. Thank you, Lord. We will think we've been raptured and gone to heaven, but we're still here. We're still here.
Amen.
But we're here to occupy till you come. We're to occupy with your glory. And Lord, I release every person in this room. I dare every person in this room. I dare you to break through their constraints and limitations that have kept you from becoming everything God told you that you could become and everything God had dreamed about you before the foundations of this world. I give you permission tonight to become and do everything God has called you to become and do. The only restrictions is your own fear of failure and your own sense of your track record. But the Lord says, remind you, it has never been about your works. It has never been about your ability. It's never been about your capacity. It is about the perfect one who has performed his perfect work in you. For it is not your life you live, but the life that you do live, you live by the faith of the Son of God. He who knew no sin became sin that he may meet the righteousness of God in you. So it is not about you. It is about what I'm doing in you and through you, because Paul said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not you in you, not who you are or who you're not. You have nothing to do with this, says God. Despite you and despite everybody, I will fulfill, says the Lord, the glory of my expression upon the earth. And I will cover it, says God. And you shall say, God is really on the warpath. God has really decided to invade planet earth. And it shall happen, says God. You can partner with me or you cannot. Like in Noah's day, you can posture yourself in the ark and ride the crest, one of the greatest moves of God, or posture yourself outside of the ark in unbelief and receive judgment, because both mercy and judgment are coming down, and it depends on how you posture yourself, which you will take part of. Choose the good and refuse the bad, says the Spirit of the Lord, and be a part of one of the greatest expressions that planet Earth has ever seen. It is but the beginning, and it shall go on and on and on and on, and many we'll see it until the day that you go to be with the Lord. I am making my move, says God.
Wow.
Lord, we thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for the
expression. I'm making my move, says God. Wow. Can we just give the Lord a big shout saying, yes, Lord, we partner with you. We believe these words. We say yes. It's not about us, it's about you, and it's about your ability to bring this to pass. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Amen? Amen. The Lord says, I dare you. He said it through Larry. I dare you. What are you going to do with this? If we say, yes, that prophecy belongs to me, there's life in that prophetic word. There is life, supernatural life. If your hand is a yes, I want that to overtake me, to overshadow me in my world for my destiny. Put your hand in the air. And we're going to say, yes, Lord, we're going to believe you. We're going to trust you. We are going to solidly say yes, that we choose to posture ourselves, no matter what the wicked one would say against us, to bring a hindrance, to keep a hindrance. No way. You have spoken, and our hands, you can see them, oh God. Our hands are reaching up saying, that word belongs to me. That word belongs to me. So just hold it in your hand and put it on your heart. Just grab it and put it in your heart. In the name of Jesus, that word belongs to me. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's just turn the lights. No, we have another thing. Hang on a minute. I don't want to lose the moment here because we are going to talk about this a little bit more and just sow into whatever God wants to bring from that word. But how many of us know that when the prophetic utterance from heaven comes, that it's intended to not just stir us, but to move us? Not just go, whoa, I'm feeling warm and fuzzy and good, but to move us and change us and to enable that to come to pass. So we are responsible as hearers of that word for ourselves, for our region, and on and on and on. So we're very excited about that. And with that in mind, purposefully for ourselves, we do have relentless pursuit Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm telling you, this is going to be the tenor of this conference in terms of breakthrough. That the Lord is saying, I am relentlessly pursuing what it is that's on my heart, which is you and everybody who's going to be here. I believe that. And that we are going to be able to be better positioned to be able to see this prophetic word come to pass for us. All right. I'm really stoked for what's coming up this week. Lots of detail goes into something like this when you have a conference where you're asking people from all around the area to come. So there are a lot of things going on behind the scenes if you're not directly a part of that. And we just ask for your prayer just to help us figure out, you know, some of the things that need to happen to make things very comfortable and easy for a lot of people. So God bless you all. One of the things I will tell you today that's going to be helpful, and we'll announce it later, is that on Saturday we are having a kingdom. We are having two workshops. We have a worship, kingdom worship workshop here in this room, and that will be on Saturday afternoon as part of the conference. And also at the same time, from 2:30 to 4:30, we are having a kingdom business and marketplace workshop. And we've decided to transform our house, the pastor's house, into the place for the conference workshop on 2:30 to 4:30 on Saturday afternoon. Then we'll all come back for Saturday night. That's everything else will take place here at Frontline Worship Center, but just on Saturday afternoon. And we will announce that. We're not putting that on the website or anything like that. But those who will be part of this, there'll be a flow. And by Saturday, we'll make that known Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning. So if that's you and you have any interest at all in that area, just put that in the back of your mind that you have a heads up that that's going to be at our house. So all the speakers will be part of that, and we'll have the house transformed so that we can facilitate. I hope tons of people. I hope they're standing room only. So that'd be awesome, or sitting room only. So I'm very excited about this. And if you feel that there's somebody else that you want to ask or invite, we do have the rest of those brochures or those flyers that you can have as well. Well, one thing that Larry said at the end, I just jotted down. He says, are we going to partner with what God's doing right now? He says, there's a time and a season where there's going to be a great release of God's mercy. And he says that mercy is going to move upon us to push us out of unbelief. And many times unbelief is that silent killer that says, I don't know, I really can't do this. I'm not sure if I really want to. And we don't label it as unbelief, but from God's perspective, it's called unbelief, because either we're partnering, saying, yes, God, count me in, even in our weaknesses, or we're saying, I don't know, it just sounds really kind of flaky, dangerous, I don't know, maybe it's, or we don't step in entirely, and we just say, okay, God, I like all this, that's great, I know it's going to be easy, so let's just go for it. And then we start down that road and say, that was Sunday. I was really stoked. I don't really feel any kind of supernatural anything. So I'm not going to even pay attention to that prophetic word that was given. And so in other words, this prophetic word that was given, we are, in a sense, responsible for, in that we can have it. It's as though it was released over us in the atmosphere. We grabbed it, said yes, and now we're going to take whatever step we need to take on our end with his help. And we're going to talk a little bit about David this morning and how he had to rely on the Lord to be able to step into the full empowerment so that those things could come to pass for him. So we've all said, I believe, or many of us have said yes to this for our lives, which is going to make a difference. God is going to back you up. He already is. But he's saying, listen, there's so much more, and I don't want you to miss anything. I don't want you to miss everything that I've got for you, so hang on and see what I'm going to do. So I just love that about what Larry got from the Lord. He says, in his prophetic word, I jotted a few things down. I've seen this several different times, but this is my fourth or so. And I wanted to write a few notes, just a couple of things, just to kind of impart to you. He said, I want to live a life of no regrets. How many people in here said, that's me. I want to live a life of no regrets. If we've said that, I want to live a life of no regret. Put your hand in the air. Is that you? Did you say that? Did you say that? Do you feel it sometimes? Okay. And even right now, the enemy would love to say, don't listen to this stuff. This is way over your head, way too much. Sounds like you've got to do all these kinds of things. And I just want to pray right now. It's a blessing over us. Father, I thank you for this word that was released. I thank you that there is no mind-binding spirit in the name of Jesus that can keep us from furthering what it is that our heart said yes to. So I thank you, Lord, for the release of your ministering spirits and angels in such a powerful way in here that we are totally stepping into all that you have for us. Thank you, Holy One, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are seeing that we're going to be part of establishing the kingdom of God, and he's going to work through us, and we are going to not let the restriction is something, you know, you think of yellow tape or even red tape trying to stop us. Restriction is something where we can't feel as though we move. We feel like our feet are in cement. Maybe our heart says, yeah, I want to go forward, but I just make all these decisions and I don't see it happening and I keep falling down and I just constantly need encouragement. I just can't get there. You know, God understands all of those things. He's very kind. He's also very mad, but not at us. He's very mad at the enemy that seems to be able to get through and have his way and stick us and poke us, and somehow we get blindsided and we fall into unbelief with our own choice. And then we just wake up for a moment and go, why did I do that? Oh my gosh, I don't want to do that anymore. This has got to be my moment. I believe that this is the moment in time. God is saying, if you're hearing this message, this is your moment right now. No matter how many moments in the past haven't worked out, no matter how many things in the former days or hours or even minutes before you've heard this haven't really gone your way, God is saying, today's a new day. I'm releasing a new sound. It's my birthing. Thank you. It's been a very difficult, travailing time. This is my baby that I'm birthing through you, and I'm going to do it. So hang on, but please partner with what I'm saying about it right now. And remind yourself, give yourself the actual testimony of what you've heard. Listen to this. Think about it. And own it over and over. Yes, Lord, I heard that. I don't feel like that. But yes, thus saith the Lord. Whatever that means you've spoken, I believe it. You've said it, I own it. You will do it, I say yes. And when we step into that, we're not just emotionally cheerleading ourselves. We're actually agreeing with heaven, and the Lord's power is then released in those very places where those hindrances have been. And it's going to be in our mind. And it's going to be in our emotions, and it's going to be in our will. Our will can be weakened. Do you know that? Our will can fall into a place of just, a deep frailty. Think of a person with a lot of spinal problems. Maybe they have a deterioration of the spine or the disc in the spine. And, if you saw that on an echogram, sonogram, or you saw it on an x-ray or something, be like, oh, that's supposed to be the strong backbone of your body, and it's just caved and it's curved and it's twisted, and maybe there are some lesions and maybe there are some growths or tumors or whatever. That's a scary thing. That's supposed to be strong. It's supposed to be straight. And the Lord says, that's the same way it is with your will. It's supposed to be strong and straight and filled with put you in a position where there's such a fortification that you can breathe in even when it's hard and say, let's go to the other side. Huh. So the enemy has a right, he thinks, to go and attack those areas so that our will is very weakened. If you've all heard us talk about, and your parents maybe have talked about, what a strong-willed child looks like, and it's a child going, no, I won't. And sometimes we laugh, sometimes we don't. How many of us have ever been there? Anybody ever said you're strong-willed? I kind of like that, actually, now. I'm strong-willed in Jesus' name, but I want to partner with what heaven says. So if someone has said or you have felt, oh, I'm strong-willed, that can be a good thing as long as we're on the right side. So we're just helping our babies, our little babies right now, just kind of govern that, you know, so they can take that strong will and use it for glory, you know, and just come under the banner of surrender and submission to things of the heavenly nature, and that's us. So God is saying, that's what I want to do in your will, so that your will not bend and turn and buckle when the pressure comes. How many of us feel that happens? We turn and we bend. We kind of sway and go, I don't know. That's where God is coming in. And I believe for Relentless Pursuit this weekend, there is just going to be an overwhelming sense of strengthening in the inner man. Okay? When Paul wrote Ephesians in 3:16, he cried out and he said, because of who you are, Lord, I just pray you're strengthening in the inner man for the people that I love in Ephesus. I want to see them strong and mighty, strengthened in the inner man, in their mind. Their minds are sharp. Their will is strong. And their emotions, they feel things, and that's great. But their emotions will not lead them to the point of the destruction that Larry was talking about that is going to come on the earth. God is saying, I'm fortifying you. I am birthing through you something that's so amazing in this season that your mind, your will, your emotions will line up with the very spirit of the living God on the inside. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we've got some more heavyweights coming in this weekend. And God says, be here. It's not PMP saying, be here. I believe the Lord's saying, be here as much as possible. Ask God to move things around. Try to change your schedule for you to be able to be here and capture everything that's going to be released to be able to be strengthened in the inner man. And also take that strengthening for yourself and then posture yourself to see this released all in this region and around the world. So it's a very big deal. And we want people to be here for that. A couple other things the Lord gave Larry as I was writing this down is that the glory of the Lord is rising. And he said the judgment of Egypt that was given, as you know, through the times of Moses, led to the deliverance of Israel. So all those hurtful things that happened, all that nasty stuff that we saw in Exodus as the children were being released, God was saying, hey, I'm going to get the Egypt out of you. And this is a season and this is the time where I am going to fortify you and I am going to get to those hidden places, those hidden wounds, those places where there's been this hindrance stuff and I'm going to deal with it. You may not like it and it may be ugly and it may feel really wrong, but I'm going to deal with it because I want to, because I have so much for you. You can just see God jumping in heaven. I got so much for you. This is for you. This is for you, but it's about me. It's for you. It's about me. Okay? But we can't do it on our own, and we can't just think it into motion. It won't happen. We're just not strong enough. The enemy is stronger than us when we're in that weakened place and not relying on God. So if we're in a weakened place and relying on God, oh, we will be carried. But if we aren't, oh man, if we're trying to figure this out, and we put the cart before the horse, just figure it out in the mind. Figure it out with your will. I'm going to line up my world. And oh, I'm going to be strong today. It was hard, but I'm going to be strong today. Without the Lord's backing, the enemy will just laugh and set you up for another one. Take this. Well, he thinks he has a right. But when we fortify ourselves like this and go, no way. The Lord is saying, I'm touching your spirit. I'm telling you, Paul says, this is what you need to do. Every morning, get up. Every night, lay down and say, Lord, strengthen me in the inner man. Strengthen me in the inner man. It's the most important prayer you're going to pray over yourself. Those of you who know Jesus, strengthen me in the inner man. My mind, my will, my emotions, I need your strength. I'm depending on you in those areas. Very important prayer. Okay, you want it on earth as it is in heaven? That's true. And we claim it. And God says, now, posture yourself to receive. You're going to be underneath the glory spout receiving, strengthen me, God, I just need it right now. Just feel that weakness, but you know what? My emotions, I give them to you. My mind, I give it to you. My will, I give it to you. Strengthen me so that I'm not falling away from the very thing that deep inside the real me wants. You know, God says, I know who you are. Come on, get up, let's go. But surround yourself with the kind of people who believe this, honestly, and you won't be fooled. Surround yourself, and there'll be a lot of people like that this weekend, so please come out. A couple things he said also was that this is a season of unveiling where the Lord is taking the veil off, and he's bringing correction all around the world. He's bringing correction. And he said three main areas that he was talking about. One, he's releasing and exposing the areas in the church, the business, and also personal areas that he's lifting off the veil. So something that's been kind of percolating or maybe smelly underneath, you know, it's like, what is that odor? You're kind of going in the cabinets going, what is that? What? It's a little stinking thing. What is that? Maybe it's a bad potato in the pantry or something, you know. Or you're in the refrigerator going, I see all this good food, but then there's this stink. How do I just got to get out of that? So God's opening up the refrigerator door, and he's opening up the pantry door and saying, right there. And it's not us. It's not us that we're stinking people, but he's going to expose the stench. He's going to expose where the stink is, where it's a hurt or a pain or whatever it is. He says, this is my time. Don't fight me. Okay? Don't fight what I'm doing. You know, it's time to recognize the real enemy, which is the stinker. Really. And when we recognize that, then we posture ourselves to say, yeah, my daddy backs me up. And then the stink is blown off because there's going to be a wind of the Spirit that's coming through right now. And that wind is going to push that stink out. Okay? But the enemy wants us to think that we're a stinking failure. We're a stinking mess. We're a stinking jerk or jerkus. And God says, no, 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 you are not. But I'm going to get rid of that right now. And the pain that's attached to that. Now, let me tell you something. Many times the walls come up because I just can't go there. I just can't go there. I just can't go there. And our mind is going, don't you go there. Don't you go there. Your will is, it's not going to start. And your emotions are, no, I don't want to go there. And God is saying, listen, go there. Okay? All you have to do is go there. So come to Relentless Pursuit and watch all of this stuff just blow right out of the park. Because you're in this atmosphere and this aroma of great worship and praise and word from God, and you're getting transformed, going, how did this, wow, I can't believe this happened. This is amazing. Okay, some of the people who heard Larry Randolph back in 2005 or 6, I don't remember what the year was, and we were out at Voice of the Apostles and we took a group. Some of you had words from Larry, and some of you wrote them down. Some are not here today. But some of you wrote them down, and I've heard from some of you, yeah, I remember when he said this, or we remind one another. And God says, still, in 2014, stir up that prophetic word, because that prophetic word had life. And take a look at where you are right now, not in terms of but in terms of who. Look what God has done. So these words that are truly from heaven are just another expression, another way that God himself is speaking to us. And he's going to teach us more and more about his voice and about how he does this. So the Lord is saying, it's time to look at what I have made myself, how I've made myself known. And we'll talk more about it in Relentless Pursuit, about the power of the testimony. Oh, yes, I know if something happened, I need to share it, because then I say, God, do it again. You know, that's good, and that's true, and that's right. But there is so much more to go into that that will stir us up to be able to go, I get it. Oh my gosh, and I'm going to see more of God, and it's going to enable me to be able to speak out what God has done. I'm not going to look at myself in a video or look at a picture of me in a Facebook page or whatever and go, yeah, that was the old days. I really used to do that. Now I want to do it again. No, God is saying, that's who you really are. So whatever is hindering that, guess what I'm going to do for you right now? Because it's about me. So the unbelief that I'm just such a failure, that part is going to go, because that part is not from God. God is saying, listen, I am speaking life, I am speaking release, I'm speaking hope, I'm speaking wholeness, I'm speaking all these things now, and I will do it. I will make it known to you, I will make it happen in you. I'm pumping myself up. This is really good. Good stuff. Yeah, this is good. Another thing that he said, number two way of unveiling, the veiling coming off, that God's bringing this correction, which is a good thing. He's going to uncover people of God in a new way. He's going to birth something in each one of us. He's going to remove the sins and the doubts of whatever is hindering us from the fullness of the birthing. He's going to do that. So this is a lot of what I'm talking about. So I'm very excited about that. He said it's overdue and that this is a time of induction, that the Lord is inducing. He's inducing. He's saying, you know what? I don't know, you're kind of stuck and this baby's going to blow up. We got to get this baby out of here. It's time, all right? So I'm going to induce it. And it might not, you don't like that. If you've ever had induced labor, ladies, it's like, hold on, this was not what I was thinking. Oh my gosh. And if you're pregnant, don't even worry about that. It's just, it'll be fine. But, you know, for induction, it's just not, whew. But God's saying, this is time. It's time to induce labor. So if you're feeling just like, oh, this has been such a hard year, it's a hard year, 2 years or whatever. Okay, great. Hold on, because God's got a plan for that. So this is good. So Lord, induce it over me. You want to speak that out over me and say, Lord, over my life, over the life of this church, life of my family, it's time and I'm ready for it. I'm flowing with you. So you want to call it in. Call in these prophetic words that have been released. He also said that this is a time to manifest his face. He said, for those who are saying, Lord, I just want to see your face. He goes, he's showing his face. Get yourself in the place where you can see his face. He says, this is a time where the ambiance of heaven, the mood of heaven is so beautiful and so strong that you want to just get yourself in the mood of heaven. It doesn't mean that you put on mood music. Okay, back in the day, for some of us, a long time ago, there was this group called Moody Blues. Come on, Moody Blues. Can you think that would be encouraging? No. Okay, the mood of the blues. It's like, wow, sounded like it's like really cool. This is before Christ for me. But I'm just going to tell you, this is just not what God is saying. He's saying the mood of heaven is brilliant. It's full of joy. It's full of peace. It's full of hope. It's full of success. Honestly, there's just no failure in heaven. I'm sorry. So he's saying the ambience, oh, the mood, wow. You're going to set the mood, you know, and you have this romantic dinner with your sweetie. And it's like, I'm going to have the best food and the best lighting and the best table and the best of everything, okay? And it's just going to be this amazing, romantic place where wonderful things will happen, okay? And you hope that's, you know, wonderful and glorious, and maybe it's an hour or something like that, and maybe it was. And then business back as usual for life, maybe. And God is saying, no, 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 this ambience of heaven is something that goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And God's releasing us. It's as though he's taking this bow and arrow, and he's taking all these arrows, using us to pull, take these arrows out of our quiver. Wow! And these arrows are supposed to hit us in the heart, arrows of love. But the enemy says, I want to hit you in the back. I want those arrows to be hitting your back. Oh, so you're weakened in your mind, your will, your emotions. So you can't see that the arrows of love coming towards your heart to encourage you and strengthen you are part of the ambience and the mood of heaven declaring that God is here. It's like, well, what the heck? I don't want to be shot full of holes. Well, an arrow of love is not going to do anything but pierce your heart with the goodness of God. But the enemy is going to send a flaming arrow in your back, and it's going to have poison attached along with a few other things that go with it, in order to bring you down. And some of us have had that. There have been some arrows shot. And so when that, and that hurts. So he wants that pain that's resulted from those arrows shot in the back, he wants that pain to be removed. Okay? Because the arrows, we might say, arrows, I'll take them out. Okay, but there could be some pain and some poison attached to that. And it could affect us in those deep places on the inside. And we're going, I don't want them there. I don't want them there. Good. So we're going to say, God, wherever that pain has been, that's still inside of me, there's going to be a great exchange from heaven right now. And that exchange is going to remove and suck out the poison from those areas in my mind, my will, and my emotions, in order that those wounds would close up and those arrows of heaven that are coming right into my heart are actually part of that as well. Okay? It's a process. It's a really good process God has us in, because he knows what to do. He doesn't want us to have any arrows in our back, any pain that stays there as a result of betrayal, of hurt, of offense, of unforgiveness, or something like that, or victimization. Okay? God is saying, this is what I want to do. As part of Redemption for Life, which is one of our ministries here at Frontline Ministries International and Frontline Worship Center, we work with those who are who've been in a state of being or currently in a state of being victimized. So we were out on the streets over on Friday night, and we were in some places that where Jesus is, you just really have to look. You can look in the eyes and say, you were made in the image of God. But other than that, I'm just not seeing Jesus too much here. So we were in some of those places on Friday night, and the Lord targeted a man who was there bringing his wife in to the place, and I went up to him and talked with him, and he just really was there because his wife wanted to go and dance and hang out and stuff, so that's what he did. He just felt kind of strange being there, but yet he just wasn't really connecting with what God was doing at the moment, I don't think, at first. But then there was a little bit more comfortability. God opened the door, and God gave me eyes to see this man is, he's got some areas in just what we were talking about over here. And he needs Jesus. And you know what? Jesus showed up in the middle of this bar. Jesus showed up. This man gave his life to Jesus. I'm not saying, okay, we all need to be going and doing this, but I'm just saying that's where I was. But God is saying, I'm going to take you to the deepest, darkest places, wherever that would be. But you need to be prepared. You can't have these arrows in your back and poison in your heart and all that. You've got to be filled up with that invigorating fire. In this season, God's saying this word that God delivered through Larry is for us to be able to go to the others who just cannot see that at all. So that's where I was on Friday night. Now, why do I say that? Because I want to give a testimony quickly as part of this for you, for God, to say, look what God did. This man was saved. I mean, he actually spoke out, and he gave his life to Jesus. Okay, yeah, it was very powerful in the midst of every demonic presence you can imagine in this place. Ha! Jesus, excuse me. I trump everything because I am the trump card. I don't just give you a trump card. I am Trump. Okay, if you guys know how to play cards, I am Trump. How about that? You want a hand of Trump all the time? Everybody who plays cards, you understand this, right? Okay. So he went in and he just, excuse me, that one, in the family of God. All right. So you may think, well, that's not for me. I don't care. That's not what I'm saying. You don't have to do that. I'm saying our Trump, Jesus, is here. And he's saying, grab onto this and let your spirit rise. Let your spirit just rise. Go, yes, yes, yes. Okay, put your hand on your head. Lord, my head belongs to you. I give you my thinking. I don't check my brains at the door, but I want you to infiltrate and lead my brain. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hand on your heart. This is heart time. Lord, I give you my heart. Completely. You know how I feel. You know how I react. You know how I respond. You know what's in my heart. I'm releasing it to you. Take control. I surrender my heart to you. For real. Okay, put your hand on your back. Lord, I thank you that you gave me a backbone. And you know where it's been weak. You know that you desire for me to have a strong will to be able to engage the purposes of heaven for my life. And out from there. So I thank you, Lord, that the strong will I have is fortified by you. The strong will I have is energized by you. And wherever my will has been weak, I give it to you. Remove the weakness, O God. I surrender my will to you. I surrender my will to you. On earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Well, that's a good word. Thank you, Lord. So we just to wrap this up here. I just really believe that God is wanting us to know that there are dark things coming. That's okay. But God, he's saying, I'm getting my kids ready to be able to not only get through it, but also release the goodness that's involved in that to other people so people will know what it is God is all about. So we have the revelation of God through all of this. But he's looking for us to say, you know, no more unbelief. I don't even know what unbelief is, God. It's a good word. I'm writing it down. It's in my notes. I'll remember it. Unbelief. Okay. I don't want unbelief. But Lord, I'm really saying to you that today, no more. No more unbelief. No more. So would you show me what that is in my life so I can just only believe so that I can receive everything you have. I choose to believe you. I choose to receive you. Therefore, I will destroy in Jesus' name what's around me that's hurtful, and I will advance. I will do that in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, there's a few other things that Larry spoke about, but I want to just add a few things from 2 weeks ago. I need something. I just want to see where we are. I don't even know how things are going here. So I'm going to check and then let you know what we're going to do here. Oh, this is good. Okay, lots going on today. I want to be mindful of that. 2 weeks ago, I was sharing with you a passage of scripture. It was 1 Samuel 30. And I really believe it's powerful. In verse 6, David was in the middle of a mess, and he needed to be strengthened. And he cried out for strengthening in the inner man. He said, God, give me strength. Okay, so I went through the whole chapter with you. We put it up here in the board or on the wall and everything. And I was reading again and just thinking about it and looking at it in the message and saying, God, it keeps stirring in my mind. I've shared this with so many people in the last couple of weeks. I really encourage you to listen to it. It was quite good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It was excellent. But let me give you a thumbnail sketch of this and a couple more things just to tack on with what Larry was releasing from the Spirit of God today. In 1 Samuel 6, David, mighty man of God, had a bunch of people with him, and they were going out and putting out fires, if you will. A lot of bad guys, you know, going in and raping and pillaging and setting fires in villages and all that. So David was a warrior, and he's going out and saying, you can't do that. And he's fighting. He's a man of God. So he comes back to this place called Ziklag, and he realized when he got back to this place that the enemy had already infiltrated that place. He wasn't there. It's like, what? And so it was a village where everything was burned out and the women and the children were taken and he didn't know where they were. But remember, he had come back, he'd been in war, and he had been in the battle, and he had taken a bunch of people with him, and they were tired. They were weary. It's like, man, war is hard. Oh, we need to come and have time with our family. Let's have pizza and the fire, whatever we're going to do. Let's just relax. It's time, man. I need a bath, you know. And they come back. Everything's burned out, and their women and children are gone. They weren't killed, but they were herded out, so they were taken. Okay? So it's like, what do I do? What do I do? I'm the boss. I'm in charge. I'm David. Okay, so he gathers his people around him, and they're not really happy with him. It's like, now this has gotten really close and personal, David. You had us go out, and we're fighting the battle of the world. And now we come back, and our wives and kids are gone. I just don't like you. It wasn't David's fault. He was following the Lord. The Lord was saying, keep going, David. Keep hearing what I'm saying. Keep going. So he gets back, and he's like, I don't know. These guys want to stone me. They want to come after me. They're talking about maybe it's just get rid of David. It's just making life really tough. Because they couldn't handle it. They were filled with their own hindrances, their own hurts, their own wounds, their own weariness and everything else. They weren't pumped up by the Father at that moment. So David said, hey, excuse me, I have to go talk to God about this. So he did. And he said, but give me this prayer cloth thing that I'm going to wear. It's called an ephod. Because that's what the priest did in the Old Testament. So he put this on, which was a way for him to tap into connecting with God also. That was under the old law, under the old covenant. So he did, and I spoke a lot about that 2 weeks ago, and I'm not going to repeat it, so get it on tape. It's good. I spoke a lot about the significance, the prophetic significance of how he went about doing it, what that ephod was like, what it was used for, the colors in it, and all that was really good. So suffice it to say that that's what he did. He met with God, and he said, God, can I pursue them? What should I do? It's, and I want to just read a couple of words, if I can find it here, that were just really phenomenal. How God came to his aid and what he said to him. He says, David was greatly distressed, and you can imagine his wives were gone too, greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were, let me get the word here, listen to the word, you ready? Embittered. They were bitter. They were embittered. Embittered. The people were embittered. What are they embittered about? Is it David's fault that the Amalekites got in there? No. God sent him on these other journeys. He gets back, but the people were embittered. It's like, I can't take this God thing. This is way over the top. This is way too much. Please. And now I don't even have my wife to console me. So they became embittered. Who knows from what else was going on? Maybe they had other issues inside, other hurts and pains from years before, whatever was going on. But they were embittered at that point. And so it says that that before that, the David and the people who were with him, they lifted their voices and they were weeping. There was no strength in them to weep. There was no strength. There was no strength. There was no strength. So they're weeping, but they're weeping from, I'm falling apart. It's over. What am I going to do? Now, there's one thing when you're weeping before the Lord going, God, I just can't take this anymore. I just can't believe that the enemy came and shot somebody really close to me. I just can't deal with this. Oh, my gosh, God, it's over the top. I'm done. And they just run out of the strength, and people around them needed to hold their arms up, let alone figure out what to do with the people that were shot by the Amalekites or killed. Or at least captured. You know, this is all about the enemy and how the enemy works. You know, all the good news of who we are in Christ is helpful, but not all that helpful if we have no idea how the enemy sneaks in the back door and says, I don't want you to really get this. I want you to be miserable about, 4 o'clock today. And then you'll forget everything that she said because it wasn't really important anyway. Because look, your emotions are telling you this is horrible. You see, the enemy is very tricky and very sneaky. So that's what is happening here. So, when they had no strength, and David was distressed about the stoning, the people were embittered, each one, because of the closeness of the sons and daughters in verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He strengthened himself. It's right here in the Old Testament. He strengthened himself. He had to be strong. He had to be able to see. He had to be able to go, no, that's not what's going on. You guys don't understand. We can see that it's the Amalekites, and we can see their trace. But you know what? God's going to teach us how to pursue. He's going to do this. But he didn't have anything in the natural to do this. He had to get this from God. He had to connect with God and say, what's really going on? Okay, the ambiance of heaven, I'm not feeling it right now, but I know you're good, I know you're big, and I know that you care about me, the people around me who are really upset, okay, the ones I'm supposed to be helping, and our sons and daughters and wives. This is like way too much, God. But God's in this somehow. He's still in this. He's saying, I'm going to bring all of you up so you can see. I don't want you drawing your conclusions that will limit you, that will keep you in a place of, well, this is what's really going on. And we get one half of the picture, or one third of the picture, or one eighth of the picture. That's not enough. God says, I want to reveal to you the truth of what's going on so that you can navigate properly. And when you step in to do hard things, you'll know, okay, the arrows are coming out of the back, but I've got the arrows in my heart in the front, and they're flaming good because I'm so in love with you. You see? And I'm going to be able to get that picture, and it's going to go from 1/8. It's going to go up to 1/4, and it's going to go up to 3/4. It's going to go up to 100%, and I'm going to see the bigger picture so that I not only will not be embittered, but I will be able to rescue those who are really in deep doo-doo. Okay? And I'm not going to be so frail that I can't do it. Yeah, it's good. That's a good word. It's good. And so, this is so wonderful. Now, think about the people that you want to have come to Relentless Pursuit. There's probably a strategy to keep them out. Do you think it's going to be easy? Ask them and they will come. You said so, it's easy. Well, that's getting the word of the Lord. He might have you go apple picking on Wednesday afternoon. You know what I'm saying? Come on, get the strategy from God so he can show you how to be an influence to draw them. David learned how to be the influence that needed to influence. He learned. I'm going to show you real quick to kind of tack on to what I said 2 weeks ago the Lord gave me. All right, here's what he said. Verse 8. David inquired of the Lord, saying, get this. I love this verbiage. Okay, talk about relentless pursuit. Listen to the words. Verse 8. He says, shall I pursue this band? He's asking God. Shall I? He's asking God. These guys have his wives. He's got two. Should have one, but he's got two. Okay, at that point. He didn't quite get that memo yet. But he says, shall I pursue? He's asking God. He didn't just say, okay, guys, get in your chariots or get on your camels or let's walk. We're going to go get them. Let's go. He talked to the Lord. What should I do? How should I do it? He got his marching orders from God. But first, he was strengthened. He didn't just say, what should I do? First, he got strengthened in the Lord. He got strengthened. His mind, his will, his emotions were strong through prayer, through consecrating himself and just saying, here I am. So he wasn't coming across as a know-it-all. Do you ever know a know-it-all? You just want to smack him and say, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about, but you don't. But inside, it's like sometimes people act like they know it all. We know nothing without Jesus. We should have no opinions about anything that don't match up with what he says. We should have make no assumptions. Do not presume because everybody says so or everybody thinks so or I even felt that. That's not a good place to be because we'll make lots of mistakes that way. You see? So David was smart. He went to God and said, I need strength so I don't figure this out myself. That I don't with my heart to say, I'm out of here. I'm not staying here one more minute. Let's go. Come on, guys. That would be absolute annihilation for him. And also with his will. I'm David. Okay, let's go. You have to listen to me. This is how we're going to do it. No, he went low and he said, your way, your way, your way. So anyway, God was really good and finished it up by telling him, when he said, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to them, here's the response from God, pursue. I just love it, relentless pursuit. Okay, pursue. Shall I pursue? Pursue. You really want me to pursue? Pursue. But it didn't happen without that kind of strengthening. Pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. Now, if you heard that from God about your life, think about it. Think about what God says. You are to pursue. Pursue what? The enemy. Pursue. You know, we're not going to focus on the enemy. We're going to focus on worship and the Lord. But you need to know who your enemy is, where your enemy is. And the Lord says, when he gives you the marching orders to pursue in the spirit, that means that we will posture ourselves and position ourselves to be connected in the ambiance of heaven, that great and mighty place of worship and praise, and surrendering ourselves where we're worshiping God. And he will start to smarten us up. Honestly. So that when we see the words, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. Now, let me tell you something. I have a little bit of that water. To pursue our enemies and overtake them and take them all and rescue everybody. What's really cool about that is that David didn't know how that was going to happen. He just had the promise. And he took the promise upon himself and he said, I own the promise. It's a promise from God. I'm posturing myself to believe it, to receive it, and to be used to destroy anything in my way and advance. And he wasn't sitting around playing poker or playing chess or playing diddlywinks or whatever. He was busy about the Father's kingdom. He was kept himself really, really busy concentrating on the Father so that he could hear clearly and then take a step forward. And the enemy was really mad. So that's so cool. He went, he strengthened himself, asked the questions of God, and then got the answer. When he got the answer, he didn't move from the answer. Now, I said some of these things maybe in a different way 2 weeks ago, but I think it's very important for this week. So David went, and he had 600 men who were with him. Excuse me. I mean, these guys actually went with him. The ones who wanted to stone him, who can figure? So they had issues, some of them anyway. So they weren't asking, God wasn't asking for perfection. He was saying, follow. Come on, guys. You want to see the answer to your situation? Follow what I'm releasing. I've got my way of doing it, so follow. So 600 started the journey, and they got to the river, Besher, and they wanted to go across, but they just couldn't. They were too feeble. They were too frail. They were worn out. Physically, they couldn't do it, so they had to stay back. So 400 went across the river. 200 stayed with the bags, and they stayed back. Maybe they had their own baggage, too. Just saying. So they were frail. They were not necessarily strong, so they stayed by the bags. But the good thing was that at least they stayed. They didn't scatter. Maybe they were afraid. It's okay, but they stayed. At least they stayed. And they stayed there while David and the 400 crossed over, got to the other side, and then they come across this guy who hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and nights, an Egyptian. He was a servant of an Amalekite dude. And Amalekites were the ones who raped and pillaged the land and set fire to the village of Ziklag. So he's laying there. So David has compassion, nurses him back to health, and says, you know, so what's up with you? And he goes, well, I'm a servant of the Amalekites, and we went into these places, and yes, we did, and we burned it out, and don't tell them I told you, but I'll let you know where they are. God didn't even know. David didn't know that. He didn't know when he crossed the river that that's what he was going to find. So how did that appeal to him? I guess it was a good thing. I don't know what the other people thought about it. But once they got to this village, or once they found the Amalekites, it said from sunrise to sunset, something like that. So it was a long battle and fight. And they ended up, nobody died of the women and the children. They rescued everybody, just like God said. They got everybody. They got all the cattle. They got all the sheep. They took all the spoils of the war, and they killed everybody. But here's something that's really interesting. Do you know? Now remember, there's 400 with David, okay? 400 of the young, get the number, 400 of the youth, the young men, escaped. So all the guys who were fighting, you know, and all the leaders supposedly, and I don't know how young these guys were, but 400 somehow got away. I just found that very interesting. Well, they have the same DNA, don't they? The same DNA of the Amalekites, and they got away. And they're going to grow up. So they had the same stuff on the inside that hadn't been removed. Interesting. What happened to them? I don't know. Where did they go? Don't know. More Amalekites? Probably so. They just were in baby form. Or at least the enemy was in baby form on the inside of them. So God is saying, hey, if there's been some baby form stuff that's been on the inside of you, this is your season, man and woman. I'm going to help you get rid of all this hindrance stuff so we can go forward and rescue the people from the darkness that we need to. So cooperate. That's what he's saying. Interesting. But the 400 of the Amalekite boys got out of Dodge completely. They were free. And so to bring it to an end, it was really interesting that in the last verse, it says the spoils were divided in verse 20 of this section. It says that David brought it all back, and he captured all the sheep, and everybody said, this is David's spoil. In other words, any of you who are stepping in saying, I'm going to cooperate with everything I've heard today, I believe it, I receive it, the Lord says, not only are you going to win, you're going to get more. You are David's. You will win, and you will get more. I like it. And when you get that more anointing, more increase, more favor, more blessing, more revelation, more restoration of family and friends, more. God's going to use you in getting that more for sure. He's going to say, pursue the right enemy and go after and follow my way for that enemy to be really under your feet. And he says, then you will win and you will get the spoils. And so the spoils that belong to us are really sweet. This is like, whoa. So if we're in the midst of some kind of inner war in our family, our life, our friends, or whatever it is, we have a hope and a promise. And God's saying, stay on the right side of my mercy. Stay on the right side. Just absolutely detest unbelief wherever it might exist. Not people, but unbelief. Because it's a major hindrance and it's a major weapon. So when we see all this in the Old Testament, these are pictures, but actual reality, these things happened. But this is how it ended well. Yeah. And God says that belongs to us. This is a season. I'm excited about that for this week, but way beyond this week. But this week's part of it. God's setting up things between now and eternity for us right now. But he's saying, step in, seek me, and then step into what I'm saying that I'm doing. Okay? And if you've had a lot of fear, because you know it's behind all the things that weaken our backbone, weaken our heart, weaken our mind and our emotions. You know what that, I'm telling you, sometimes we get real complicated about it, but the bottom line is it's fear. There's no fear in heaven. The ambience of heaven, fear is like, what? No way. You know, the Lord removed anybody who was fear-based, any of the angels. Now they hang down this place. Okay, the dark angels. So there's no fear. So heaven is our answer. The presence of God is our answer. It is simple. We complicate it. It really is. So let's just raise our hands to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these words of life that you've given us. Through the prophetic release, we are strengthened. We are encouraged today. We can do all things through you who strengthen us, Father. I thank you, Lord, even in the midst of the personal things that we might struggle with, that you have an answer. And there are so many of us who don't know how to receive that until maybe today, or how to release that to somebody else. But we cannot release what we don't own. So I thank you, Lord, that we are in a time of owning the very DNA of the relentlessly pursuing love that you have for us. You are saying, listen, kids, posture yourself, position yourself to be in a place where the promotion from heaven is able to take place. And so this is the time. So I thank you, God, for that coming upon us right now as we step out during this week, not only to bring people to relentless pursuit, but for us to get here, but also, God, that we would be able to see the distractions that are around us to keep that from happening. And these distractions can take on many forms and look like happiness, but they're still ultimately distractions from what you are saying when we're with you one-on-one. And we really need to hear you and change. And we will, because we're saying yes to you right now, because you're going to bring the transforming change. So thanks, God. And Lord, we're also believing that as we go through, those of us who are stepping in, whether it's worship or administration or whatever it is, to try to figure all this out, having a huge deal like this week, God, we thank you that our confidence is in you. And if something seems to be going awry, whether it's in worship or prayer up front or something, like, I don't know what to do, I don't feel confident, I don't feel comfortable, oh my gosh, God, we're going to immediately remember what you're saying today. We're immediately stepping into that place of increase and saying, no fear, No. That we step into everything that you are saying belongs to us today, knowing that you back us up. Father, I just thank you for a picture that you're giving me right now of arrows being shot right into our heart, good arrows. These arrows are just apps. They're brilliant. They're I see the blood of Jesus. They've been dipped in the blood of Jesus. I see them as golden arrows, and these arrows are penetrating. They're going right in and saying, this is the love of the Father, right into your heart, all the way through to your backbone, all the way through to your mind, all the way through to your emotions and will. This love is just being shot right into you right now. Just take it. It's a good shot. Just arrows that are cutting right through in a good way with a heart attached to this arrow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that the heart of heaven is attached to these arrows that are being shot right into our hearts. Thank you for the infusion of your heartfelt love overwhelming us in a glorious way right now. You are so good. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Holy One. And Father, whatever doesn't line up with the heart from heaven, I believe what you're saying. I don't think it. I'm believing in my sense of my spirit here that you're saying I'm pushing it out. So just allow him to take it right out of you right now. He's pushing it out with his love being infused because he's so good. He backs you up, loved ones. He backs you up. He says, I am here. I am backing you up. I'm pushing out any of that. Now, these are your marching orders. Pursue in Jesus' name and you shall win. You shall have the spoils. Pursue. Pursue me. But also be aware of, in that pursuit, the discerning of heart and spirits I will give you for the very enemy of your soul and the souls of those you love that the enemy has been able to wreak havoc in you and other people, and that you will take your place strengthening yourself, and you will take your place in hearing what my strategy is from heaven, not what feels good to you. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are such a lover of us. Thank you for this strengthening word, this overcoming word. Thank you, Lord, that we are filled up to overflowing right now. All we have to do is float in your presence, and you'll show us all things. The enemy is nothing, very small. These guys were afraid of Amalekites. You weren't. You said, stick with me, boys. Watch what I do. Be strengthened in me. Watch what I do. So, Lord, we just celebrate you this morning as we make love for you and from you our highest aim, our highest goal, that we concentrate on you as you show us what you're doing. Thank you for making the spirit realm, the realm that we live in here, so real that we are absolutely posturing ourselves to experience a higher, superior reality of what we've been experiencing. That's where we choose to live. And we believe that you're here with us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.